Going Linux episode 477, Cache OS.
Get your tech on, it's time to roll. Plug your cords in and take control. Say goodbye to the old routine. Linux is here, it's the future machine. No virus.
Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, you can at our email address, goinglinux@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, Cache OS.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Larry. A long time no speak.
Yes. So, I've got to ask, is the fact that we're talking about Cache OS indicative of the fact that you have switched to Cache OS?
Oh, yes. And so everybody just knows. I had bothered Larry pretty much considerably telling him how much I enjoyed Cache OS. And he finally says, you know what? We're going to do a podcast on it. Write the podcast so we can all hear it. And I don't have. Now he was fine. let's do a podcast on it. So Larry, before I start gushing about Cache OS and my thoughts and observations, okay. What are you running?
I am running Linux Mint Cinnamon.
Okay.
And I've been running that for a while. So, and I expect to be running it for a good long while as well. I think I've settled in on Linux Mint, and I've always liked Cinnamon, so here we are. Until something else catches my eye, which I don't expect to have happen anytime soon.
Okay, well, hold my Diet Coke then, because this might get you where you want to at least look at it. So, the things I'm really impressed so far is that it is super fast. I have never seen something install and get something up and running this fast. It's the fastest I've ever seen anything. It's pretty incredible. The speed on this system, it feels like I'm running a brand new supercomputer. That's how fast it is. I mean, things load almost instantly.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is really, truly amazing. They've worked on some optimizations that we'll talk about. But I had that one game, and it was called Final Fantasy XIV. I still play it. And I couldn't get any of the others to adequately play it well, the other Linux versions. Arch was the closest. So I was just, goofing around one day and read that they actually have a launcher that's supported by Cache OS on this. And I'm like, well, you can, and I've included the link, so you can install it on others. It's probably not as simple because I was able to install it right from the repositories, the AUR, and it's officially, recognized. You, of course, will always look at it, but it installed perfectly. But when they designed this, they designed it to run on Arch and Cache specifically, and I guess they kind of optimized it even more because it pulled in everything that I needed and has its own special wine thing. I don't pretend to understand. All I know is it works flawlessly. So I am actually playing Final Fantasy on a Cache system with fantastic performance, better than that other operating system called Windows. So I am totally Windows free now. I had that one Windows partition for that one game. But
now you've got a Linux distribution that actually runs that game.
It runs the game.
Nice.
I've installed other games. because of the Steam Deck being Arch support, a lot of stuff runs flawlessly on it now. As far as gaming, it's incredible. But I installed the Cinnamon Desktop, and we're going to talk about the options that you have there. But absolutely love it. It's not heavily themed, but it's not the base generic. So basically right now, it is the perfect system. I have had zero issues. It actually even installed the correct drivers and everything for the NVIDIA card right out of the box.
That's good.
Yeah. And so,
it sounds like it's really fast and easy to set up. You've been using Linux for years now, so you've got a lot of time under your belt, if you will. But would you recommend this for a new user or somebody who's a little more experienced with Linux?
I would, without hesitation, recommend this for anybody.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It installs faster than any Linux distribution I've installed. And I've installed a lot, as you know. I time it because I'm weird. But I went from completely starting to finished in under 10 minutes. And that's with all updates installed.
Wow.
And
that's the fastest install I've heard of.
Yeah, and a complete system update, which I've only had to do a couple times. It'll pop up and say, hey, we have updates. 2-3 gigabytes or whatever. You might be out of commission for 90 seconds. I don't know how they do it. All I know is that there's no snaps, there's no flat packs. Everything is native. But I didn't understand why it was so fast, but you're going to see when we start talking about it why it's so fast and how incredible this team is. For a small team, these guys are really going for fast, lean, agile, and simple. They want people to use it. And, you know, everybody says Arch is hard to install. It uses the Calamoise installer.
Yeah.
So very friendly. Everything's explained. I just went with, this is default. Apparently it probes everything and they have different kernels with different optimizations, which we'll get into. We'll discuss that. Needless to say, it has been a flawless, no hiccups whatsoever. Everything's worked the first time. I've not had any weird things. I haven't had to use a command line to install anything. About the most I have to do is type my password into the box and hit install.
It's really something. So, shall we get into our discussion here?
Okay. So, Cache OS is a newer Arch-based Linux distribution gaining popularity for its focus on performance. It's featured a highly optimized CacheOS kernel with performance patches offering a faster, more responsive desktop experience than standard Arch. And now we're going to describe how this is put together. So Larry, why don't you take the next set for me?
Sure. All right, here's what you've written out for me, Bill. So I'm going to sound a little bit like an expert here, but believe me, I'm not. One of the ways that CacheOS is different is it's a rolling release versus a fixed release. Cache, the rolling release, unlike Ubuntu or Fedora, which typically release major versions every 6 months or even years, CacheOS follows a rolling release model. This means that you install it once and your software and kernel are continuously updated to the latest version as they're released. There are no major versions, in quotes, upgrades that require a full OS reinstall. As opposed to Ubuntu and Fedora, these are point release or fixed distributions. They prioritize a static, tested base for a set period. While this offers stability for some time, it means that you often have to wait months for the newest features or hardware drivers that a rolling release provides immediately.
So right now, you're like Linux Mint is using what Ubuntu base for its
Oh,
so it's kind of
I forget, but I think it's one or two behind.
So that basically they're building upon the fixed stable and proven static base of Ubuntu. Linux Mint does a lot of extra little tuning under the hood, but they're using the base, and so their major versions are usually based on Ubuntu, and then they build and tweak it. So that's why theirs runs, because their distribution actually runs better than stock Ubuntu. I think you've realized that. With the cache, you're constantly getting updates, and when a new driver or NVIDIA releases it, you're getting it fast. Now, some people say, well, it could break stuff. It could, but I think we're at the point now that the rolling releases are pretty sustainable. But I don't know if certain businesses would want something that's constantly updated. They usually want to go with the static of, bases. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Businesses are going to want to go with something that is tested and provably stable and has low risk of breakage, which is, one of the advantages of going with a Debian or an Ubuntu or a Linux Mint or a Red Hat. And cache would not be the kind of thing that a business would want to entertain. For personal use, on the other hand, cache sounds like something that would be of interest to somebody who wants the latest and greatest software and is willing to overlook or put up with a few minor niggles until they can get that fixed in some of the applications.
There is no right or wrong to this, whether it's rolling, if you prefer rolling, or you prefer a fixed point release like Ubuntu. It's just there are different things that are in place. Like, for instance,
Yeah,
you got
depends on your priorities.
priorities, and cache and most of these rolling have a rollback feature with the new file systems that are coming out. So that's built into snapshots. But still, fixed point releases are the gold standard for stability and security for companies. And I wanted to let that there's pros and cons to everything, but there's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever you're ever comfortable with.
Yes,
Okay,
exactly.
so here's some of cache's strengths. It has performance optimizations. Out of the box, it uses kernels compiled with specific optimizations like x86-64-v3 and v4, and the BOR, which stands for Burst Oriented Response Enhancer Scheduler, to reduce latency. A lot of acronyms there, but we're going to explain them to you in just a minute. So one of the other things is that they really concentrated and succeeded, in my opinion, is the user-friendly entry. It provides a much easier entry point to the ecosystem than a manual setup using because they're using the Calamari's installer and a Hello app to handle post-install configuration. And then, which I really do appreciate, it's the cache browser. And basically, this is a heavily optimized fork of Firefox designed for faster page loading and improved security. So they kind of checked all the strengths that I like. So, Larry, why don't you explain what some of these optimizations are?
Okay, first, the baseline is V1 and V2. Most Linux distributions are built to work on almost any 64-bit computer made in the last 15 years. Because they don't have to be compatible with older hardware, they don't use the newest or most efficient tools. The x86-64-v3 is the performance tier. This requires a processor that supports something called AVX and AVX2. These are instructions that allow the CPU to process larger chunks of data simultaneously. The x86-64-v4 is the extreme tier. This is the newest standard. It requires AVX-512. It's designed for heavy-duty workloads, significantly boosting performance for things like artificial intelligence, scientific calculations, and high-end video processing. Now, to many people, that might sound like a whole bunch of gobbledygook, but it's important from the perspective that this is the technology that gives Cache its speed.
The Cliff Notes version, all processors support the baseline V1 and V2. That's why most Linux distributions are compiled for those instructions. So what Cache does is they do a multiple build system that will build a base version, a baseline version, another version that uses the V3 and V4. And you can think of the V3 and V4 as extra parts of a recipe that you can make it, you can use these tools or these extensions in the processors to make it do things even faster. As long as it's compiled for the V3 and V4 and your processor supports it, you'll get the performance boost. But if you have an older processor that only has a V1 or V2, you're covered. They wouldn't say, here, take a V3, V4, because guess what? You'd be wasted cycles. Some of the older ones of the older processors don't support all the optimizations, so they don't have those extensions. So as they develop the new processors for AMD and Intel, they add these new optimizations, and that's why, to be safe, most Linux distributions will just use the V1, V2 because every processor has the ability to run those.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like Cache provides whichever your hardware will support.
Yeah. It's part of the benefit of Cache is they have really good hardware detection. For instance, my chip will only do V3. I don't have V4 extensions because it's 11th generation i7. So The kernel I got is for V3. But if I had installed it on my older i3, it's only good for V1 and 2. So I get whatever kernel my system can use. If you have a newer computer, yours would probably be a V4.
That's a pretty cool technology. And because Cache OS is rolling, it will ensure that you have the latest as new processors come out. That's good.
Yeah, most people want to know what processors, and they know what kind of processors they have and what Cache will support. So I went ahead and looked it up. So here's a Cliff Notes version of what versions they support, and that way you can kind of figure out for yourself. So for the x86-64-v3 support, which is the AVX2, okay, that's the one I have, is Intel. It is the Haswell 4th generation and newer. An example of that is like the i5-4570, the i7-6700, and the i3, which is the 101-100. Okay, so basically, if you have anyone in those families, you'll have V3 support. Now, for the AMD, they're not left out either. So you've got the Accelerator and all Zen processors. And that basic example for that is the Ryzen 1000 series and newer. So quite a bit of support there. Because you were already back in like fourth generation stuff. So then we have for the x86-64v4 support, the AVX512, the newest and greatest, is Intel. It's primarily the Skylake X chip, the Cannon Lake, the Ice Lake, and the newer mobile server chips. And some of the newer desktop chips, like the 12th and 13th generation, Intel might have disabled that into chip, I guess, for reasons. But that was a note that you have it, but they just disabled it. I don't understand it.
It has to do with the way Intel sells their chips.
I figured. But the AMD seems to be the exception to the group here. So there's Zen 4. The Ryzen 7000 series, the Zen 5, the Ryzen 9000 series, and newer all support the V4. So it seems like AMD, they just like to give you the most for your money. I mean, because there was no notes for that. It's like almost every one of their processors had V4 support or V3. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to buy a new laptop, and then because of what I've seen, I will probably look at AMD, because I've always been an Intel guy. But, you never know. I mean, I've just been impressed with some of the chips that AMD's coming out with. I'm a geek, so I like to watch all that stuff. So, it doesn't matter if you have Intel or AMD. You're going to get good performance. But, we did talk about that. Even if you don't have the V3 or V4 CPU support, you can still try it. The installation will intelligently detect which the hardware and processes that you run. You're going to get an optimized version even without the V3 and V4 support, because you're going to get to use the Bohr scheduler. And that's kind of like the magic sauce in all this. And then you're still going to get the custom kernels, you're still going to get the highly responsive desktop. It's actually ideal for revitalizing old PCs or maximizing new ones. So if you want to bring life back into it, because they're concentrating so much on optimization and using the Bohr scheduler, it doesn't matter what chip, you're going to see improvements. So why don't you take the Bohr scheduler, Larry?
Okay, let's talk about that. It's definitely something that makes Catchy different. Think of the scheduler as the traffic controller for your computer. It decides which programs get to use the CPU and for how long. Standard schedulers, like the ones in Ubuntu, Fedora, and Base Arch, these typically use the EEVDF and formerly the CFS scheduler. Their goal is fairness. They try to give every processor an equal slice of the pie. While stable, if a given background task, like a big file compression, starts up, your mouse or video playback may feel a little bit heavy or leggy because that background task is being treated, quote, fairly. The Bohr scheduler, Bohr stands for Burst Oriented Response Enhancer. It modifies the standard scheduler to prioritize bursty tasks. For example, when you move your mouse, click a menu, or type, those are bursts of activity. The Bohr scheduler recognizes these and instantly moves them to the front of the line. The difference is in a standard distribution, a heavy background renderer may cause your desktop to stutter. With Bohr, you can have your CPU at 100% load in the background, but your desktop environment and mouse will still feel buttery smooth and responsive. Sounds like a really good thing to have.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering why it was not standard for everything. You can compile your Linux distribution to use the Bohr scheduler if you have the ability or know how to do it. But Ubuntu, Fedora, and Base Arch, and others, to remember, everything they want stability. So they always use the tried and true, you know, let's be fair type of thing, for that we want to make sure everything is as stable as we can make it. I haven't had any problems with the board schedule, but it might have had quirks back when they were still developing it or whatever. It's not saying that the schedule they use is inferior. No, it's just a different type. It's calibrated for a different type of workload. So that's how I look at it. And so to kind of give you a little quick facts of the EVDF scheduler, the one that they use now. And it's basically, it stands for the Earliest Eligible Virtual Deadline First Scheduler. They love their acronyms. What do I say? And it was introduced in the Linux kernel in version 6.6 and is an enhancement to the kernel CPU scheduling. It serves as a modern, more sophisticated successor to the longstanding CFS, the Completely Fair Scheduler. The central idea is behind this is to prioritize processes with the earliest virtual deadline. I guess the ones that are in there first, they have a deadline, they want that one done first. Don't ask me how that works. I'm stupid when it comes to that. But most Linux OSs use this method, so everything gets equal time to the processor. It's everybody gets a little piece of the pie, so it might not be optimized for certain workloads. Again, Linux is not just a monolith. It's multiple systems that can be changed and tweaked for the needs of the user.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind. We're not saying anything's wrong with any of the other distributions. Far from it. We're actually doing a lot of things right. But what most people don't understand is Linux has multiple ways to do things, and it just depends on what you're trying to do.
Yeah, so we've taken a pretty deep dive under the hood here as to what makes Cache different. Let's take a look at the user interface and the things that the average user is going to see and feel and experience using Cache.
Yeah, this is the more fun part.
Yeah, so the Cache OS installation uses the Calamaris installer. This requires setting your look and feel or desktop environment, the interface for acting with your files, apps, and Windows, like a phone's interface. Cache OS offers a unique net install option, letting you choose from several popular desktop environments instead of forcing a single choice.
Now, here are some of the desktops that you might have heard of, and you can choose. And there's a lot more that you can pick from that I've never heard of, but you might have, and you might want to use them. So the one they've done a lot of work with is the KDE Plasma. It's the maximum customization. You can make it do anything you want. You can make it look like Mac OS if you wanted to. So, you know, that's... Then you have GNOME, which is the modern and very minimal. And then you have XFCE, lightweight and reliable. And, of course, my favorite, and I think Larry's favorite, Cinnamon. It's familiar and easy to use. If you're coming from Windows, Cinnamon's probably your home. And then we have the tiling window managers, and that's Hyperland and Sway, and these are for the power users. And there's others that I just didn't list because, well, I've never heard of them. But you pretty much have everything. But you know the one I didn't see, Larry, was there was not a deep end.
Okay.
But other stuff that I've never heard of is there. So you have, I think I count as like 13 or 14 different things you can pick from. So the lack of choice is not a problem.
Yeah, it might be a problem for a new user who has never experienced a desktop environment before. So, yeah. Yeah, if you're new to Linux and you're going to try out Cache OS, try something at the top of the list that we have, because they're the more common ones that you will probably see some level of support for, those being KDE, GNOME, XFCE, and Cinnamon.
So if you go into a tier of you know, say I'm a new user and I want to try Cache, from 1 to 3, which one would you recommend a new user to use?
I think Cinnamon is number one because it's more familiar to both Windows and to Mac OS users. So somebody switching from another operating system would probably find Cinnamon most familiar. And then for somebody who wants to get on with business and not mess around with settings, I'd recommend GNOME. And then for somebody who wants to dig in and make it exactly the way they want it, they want to customize it to the max, I'd say number three would be KDE.
I agree with that, but I want to make one caveat difference. If you're going to use Cinnamon and you're brand new, until you get your feet a little more wet, I would suggest to use the one distribution that has probably one of the nicest and easy to get understand is with Cinnamon would be Linux Mint. I would list Linux Mint as your first pick and Cache as your second pick, but I think you can't really go wrong with Linux Mint.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
Okay.
In terms of full distributions, Linux Mint is probably the best one for new users. Yeah, and you know, I've tried Cinnamon on Ubuntu, and it's not the same. it's the same in a lot of ways, but there are some settings and some things that are much more refined and more nicely tailored in Linux Mint than they are in Ubuntu Cinnamon. So, just a note there from me, but I would agree with your assessment from a distribution perspective. Start with Linux Mint, and then I'm going to give Cache a try just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And see if my recommendations on which desktop environment to pick still holds up after I've actually tried it.
Yeah, like I said, Cache can be installed by a new user, but if you're brand new, this is not anything against Cache. I love it, and I think it's a great one. Go with Linux Mint to get your feet wet and learn how things work. And then if you, you'll want to try something different, then try Cache. Cache has a lot going for it. I am enjoying the experience. I'm a fan. I'm a fanboy. I can safely recommend this. It's an excellent Linux distribution. My thing is gaming is excellent because of the enhancements to the processor, the extensions. And I'm getting better performance than I ever did for Windows. So I'm exceedingly happy with it. And I'm kind of excited to see what you think, Larry.
Yeah, and once I've had a chance to give it a try, install it on one of my computers, I'll do just that and then report back. One last thing to bring up, we recommend using the tool that the team has worked on at Cache to make it easy and stress-free. The tool is called Cache OS Hello. This gem of a tool has everything you need to get started. Please take the time to see what it can do for you. It strikes me that it is something that is in the same vein as what Linux Mint and Ubuntu Mate have done, which is the welcome application, except Cache Hello seems like more than that. It's an introduction to the system where you can get things set up, but it's also a place to go back to change your settings. And it sounds like, from the way you've described it to me, Bill, a really handy tool to have.
Yeah, it lets you update the system from there. It lets you install. Man, one of the things that I do recommend, I'll give a pro tip. In CacheOS, hello, there's a checkbox that says CacheOS update. It's not checked by default, but because you do have the one that just does the system update. What I recommend is to choose the CacheOS update button. So just check to enable it, and then use that to check your system. It just keeps the cache part and the arch part all up to date with this one button click. I've been using it, and it's worked flawlessly. Just a pro tip, if you just want to use just a system update for the way it pulls the Arch stuff, that's fine too. But that was just a pro tip that I discovered. So, yeah, I think actually we both have application picks, and actually they're both mine. But I gave you the one. Remember I told you that I had that gentleman who couldn't find a good solitaire game?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, I found one, and it's in the
Oh.
repositories. It's and I'll let you read about it. But the one that I'm excited about for my official pick is the FXV launcher for my game. It's the one that helps set it up and optimize it. So it made it super simple. So that's and I've included the link to that. So if you have something, you could look for it in your repositories. If not, you can go to their GitHub. And it walks you through how to install it. But I'll let you talk about your pseudo pick, Larry.
Yeah. In fact, I think this one we touched on. We didn't know a lot about it at the time when the issue came up on the solitaire game, but it's the PySol or PYSOL Fan Club Edition, and it's a fork of PySol Solitaire. It's a collection of over 1,200 solitaire card games. It includes games using the 52-card International Pattern Deck, a 78-card Tarok deck, which I've never heard of, the 8 and 10 suit, Ganjifa, Hanafuda, Matrix, at least that word I can pronounce,
Yeah.
and Mahjong, and an original hexadecimal-based deck. So that sounds really weird, but I guess those people that are into solitaire will find this an extremely flexible and entertaining way of playing solitaire, or 1,200 ways of playing solitaire.
Well, it had basically the different pattern decks are for the different games because there's some French games and some other types of games on there that the that are familiar because it covers multiple countries. But the one that
Okay.
but it does have a boatload of different solitaire games, and I found a new one that I've been playing. I mean experimenting with. No, seriously, I have invested hours just sitting there mindlessly playing card games and realized that I should probably be getting ready to go to work or something like that and have to go run out the house. So, needless to say, it will keep you much entertained, and it's free.
Okay, well, there we go. You've got an application pick from Bill, an application pick from me, and we're all set for our next episode, which will be listener feedback. So send us some listener feedback. And until then, go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We provide the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux podcast community on community.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.